Okay, first I want to start out with my testimony. I ain't going to say a whole lot, but this is how it starts with the story. When I was a teenager, I was around 15 years old. Me and Mom, we used to read all kind of books, you know. I hate to put Mom in it, but bear with me. I know she didn't. I have to use me and my heart both, use Mom every time we talk about something. That's just how it is. I can't think of anybody else. But anyway, when I was a teen, you know, as a teenager, you know, you have it rough. You're not always where you think you are, and, you know, you feel depressed sometimes. And I thought, man, there has to be something better than what I'm in, the condition I'm in, you know. And so, of course, I didn't look at Jesus because we wasn't brought up in a Christian home. And Christianity to me seemed boring. You know, I was like, who wants that? So Mom would read astrology books. Well, I didn't care for astrology. That seemed kind of stupid to me. I didn't. That just, everybody had their views on the sun and the moon, and they tell you, you know, this, if this lines up with this, you know, there's going to be a car accident, and someone else will say you're going to have good luck. I just didn't, it didn't make any sense. But I was into, you know, I read books on psychic things, Edgar Casey, oh, I mean, you name it, I was reading, you know, because I wanted to know, is there a power, is there something I can do? Because, you know, life stinks. And I was thinking, so anyway, one time Mom, she would say, hey, you know, I was thinking about getting a witchcraft book. I said, oh, man, that sounds good. Let's get that. Yeah, that sounds good, because I was like, I'm in for anything. She read that, but she never even really finished it, the witchcraft book. So anyway, after that, I had an aunt from New York. She always came, her and her husband always came to visit to see us in the summer. She was telling us about something that she was into. It was called Science of the Mind. Well, Science of the Mind is basically the same stuff you hear Oprah talk about. You know, if you think positive, and if you think of yourself as a millionaire, and this, if you keep doing it, you'll be prosperous. She has some other literature, too, from Unity, and there's a whole bunch of different things she had. So one time I was reading, it said something about Jesus. Of course, when they say Jesus, they're not mentioning the Jesus of the Bible. You know, a lot of groups, Islam, they mention Jesus. You know, in the Quran, they said Allah does not have a son. So the Jesus of the Quran is not the Jesus of the Bible. Well, it's the same with these people. But I didn't know, because I'm thinking, anybody says Jesus is a Christian. You know, I didn't. So I started reading it, and I thought, man, sounds good, okay. So I decided to start watching Christian television. So I started watching Fred Price and Kenneth Copeland, and it sounded just like that stuff I was reading. Of course, I didn't know there'd be a difference. So I was reading. But then there were some people I watched that was legitimate. As a matter of fact, I gave my life to the Lord. And eventually Mom did, Mahari, our whole family did. So I'm not knocking Christian television. I'm just telling you how it started. So after a few years, well, about 2 or 3 years, there was a book that came out called The Seduction of Christianity by Dave Hunt. And there were some others, too, that were coming out warning the body of Christ about the Word of Faith movement. And they was letting you know it's a damnable heresy. Well, I was just starting to get away from that. And because it was making sense, but then our pastor, we went to Word of Faith Church. You guys are probably familiar, but I'm not going to mention the church. And anyway, he told us, now he didn't know we was listening to it. He was just letting the congregation, because I think a lot of people are probably asking questions about this movement. Is it damnable? Because people are saying, hey, stay away from it. This is of the devil. And he told the congregation, don't listen to those people. These are anointed men of God. And you're touching God's anointing. That's what he said. So, well, I felt stupid. I'm like, wow, okay. And I respected him because I believed he was my pastor, and he seemed to know the word pretty well. So I'm thinking, if he says stay away, I won't listen to it no more. So anytime I heard someone talk against it, I didn't want to hear it. So back in about 15 or 16 years later, might have been longer than that, I can't remember, but I was back in 99, I start listening to studying the Word. and Jimmy Swart was talking about the cross. Well, at first I was kind of skeptical about it, but the Lord led me to listening to it more, and I'd seen it was good for my life. But then I would listen to his radio show too, and they get that panel, and they start talking about the word of faith. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, here they go. And I remember my pastor said, do not listen to people that talk against it. But I wanted to hear the message of the cross really bad because I knew this was helping my life. So when I heard, they kept talking about Copeland and there, all of them. Some of the stuff they said, I had to start thinking. He started saying some of his quotes and stuff. And so then, but before I go there, I want Philip to show, this is something I found out. I had to start checking out what I was believing in. Because I seen something they're saying is true, and I start listening to other people, because I wouldn't listen before, because my pastor said don't listen to this stuff. Show the one of Hagin first. Kenneth Hagin. Okay, this, they say he's the granddaddy of the faith movement. TBN, Paul and Jan, they acknowledge him. All your preachers on television, most of them, they call him Dad Hagin. They say he's the grandfather. Matter of fact, Charisma Magazine said they even called him the granddaddy of the faith movement. But I found out something. He's not the founder of the faith movement. This guy right here, go to the next one. This guy right here started. His name was Essex E.W. Kenyon. E.W. Kenyon came out way before, when he was in, before he was born, this man came out. Now, he was inspired by this man. Show the next guy. Finis P. Quinby. Now, when you start getting to on this subject, this guy started the whole movement. And he's not a Christian. He started a group called the New Thought Metaphysics. And the best way for me to describe it, if you ever watch Oprah, you know, when you the stuff she believes in, it's kind of like Star Wars. You know, you got the power. You can create things with your mind if you think right. If you say the right thing, you can do anything. You don't have to be sick, you know, and he influenced a lot of people. Matter of fact, a lot of yourself, most of your self-help books, a lot of your, I mean, even Oprah, a lot of people she has on her show, a lot of them, Dr. Eric Butterworth, remember my aunt, that's another person I read too. All of those people were inspired by this man right here. He started a school in Boston called Emerson College Oratory. This is where E.W. Kenyon went to back in the late 1800s. He went to this, and they taught the metaphysical, and you can, when you're thinking of metaphysics, you're talking about mind over matter, a higher way of thinking. The metaphysical way of thinking is this. The mind is higher, is more, the spirit and your mind is higher than your body. This is not real. That's reality. This isn't. E.W. Kenyon, supposedly supposed to be a Christian, he came out of the Baptist church. He kind of dabbled with Quimby's teachings. He liked it. Now, Quimby's been dead. He died. He was born in 1802 and died in 1866. But he was reading his books, and he decided, I want to go to his college. Now, if you read the Book of Revelations, they burned books, occult books. Because really, Quimby was a occultist. He was into hypnosis. He even claimed to be healed through hypnosis. He also was into spiritism. He was an occultist. He actually was a witch. Just cut and dry, he was a witch. He was into psychic phenomena and all that. Well, E.W. Kenyon liked it. He found, at this time, New Thought Metaphysics was considered a heresy. The church didn't want it at that time. You know, these groups, now, what came out of, Quimby's teachings, you had the Christian Science. Mary Baker Eddy was a student of his. She learned. Matter of fact, if you read some of her books and his books, it's almost word for word. But she denies ever, almost like she never knew him, but she did know him, and she did learn from him. And then you have your unity. They came out of that, science of the mind, the church of the science. Anything you hear science, except Scientology, that's not the same thing. But anything else, that man has Quimby inspired all of them, self-help books, all of that. So anyway, E.W. Kenyon, he was fascinated with this stuff. He really liked it. He knew the church wouldn't accept it, but he felt like, I can find good in it. So what he did, he mixed it with scriptures, and he wrote 18 books. So he died in 1948, and then Kenneth Hagin, sometime in the late 50s, started reading his books. Now, the controversy is, and it's a fact, he copied Kenyon's book. Kenyon wrote 18 books before he died. If you read, I don't have time to show it. Me and Phil, I was going to put it on the screen, just show you some examples of his books and Kenyon's books. It's word for word, almost, you know, dots and everything, you know, word for word. And to this day, Kenyon's family, they have an anger towards the Hagin family and others, because they said that he and others stole her father's writings and teachings. Yes. Yeah, anybody have any questions, you can always.
Yeah, I even heard, forget the lady's name on Believer's Voice, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim. She was actually preaching from it, or teaching from E.W. Kenyon's book. I don't know which one it was. So they don't have no problems referring to it today either.
Right. Now, what came from this when Hagin got a hold of it was called the Word of Faith movement. Now, what is the Word of Faith movement? I'll tell you right now, it's the old lie. And go with me in Genesis. Genesis 3. Go to 4 and 5. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Now this is the knowledge. This is the first Gnosticism that I would say. Gnosticism came from the devil. He said, you shall open your eyes, okay? He said, otherwise she's going to receive this knowledge that's forbidden, but I'm going to give it to you. And you shall be as gods. This is the whole doctrine of the Word of Faith movement. You shall be as God. That's a lie of the serpent. Matter of fact, Satan himself was taken out of heaven because he wanted to be like the Most High. But the Word of Faith movement, from Kenyon to Quimby, all of them, they say we're like God. So, when we look at this, the whole thing about the Word of Faith movement is this. It requires revelation knowledge. A lot of you Word of Faith ministers, they'll quote scripture, but then they'll say, you know, you won't get that in the Bible, but the Lord showed me this. You know, well, if it's not in the Bible, you shouldn't listen to it. Stay away from it. That's, you know, that's a red flag right there. Someone, anybody tells you that. If they got a vision from God, if you can't find the scripture, don't listen to it. Another thing about the Word of Faith movement, from Kenyon to Hagin, they both believe this stuff. It makes the Almighty God into a weak being who has to even answer to his own laws. See, the way they look at faith to Kenyon, Hagin, Copeland, all of them, it's a force. And even God has to answer to it. Matter of fact, what's his name? Paul Yonggi Cho from Korea, the largest church in the world, he wrote a book called The Fourth Dimension. He said that the Lord showed him, and it wasn't the Lord, but I'm going to tell you what he said. He said the Lord showed him that the psychics and shaman and witch doctors, they know how to tap into this force. He said, God showed him, and you can do it too. Benny Hinn, and Mahari and my mom will tell you, I remember when it came on, this is the first time I ever heard Benny Hinn. He said that a witch came to him and said that you can speak death to birds. Remember that? I don't know if you remember that or not. You can speak death to birds. You can speak death to people. And he said, the Lord showed him, you can do it too. So you see how we're getting the occult inside with Scripture. You know, they're trying to make it into a Christianized occult. So this is one of the things of the Word of Faith movement. And God forbids the occult. Like I said, in Acts, God had them destroy all their books and anything that had to do with the occult. So why would Kenyon, if he's a Christian, only God knows, why would he want to look at this stuff? It doesn't make sense. Okay, let me go further. It makes the divine Son of God into a born-again man who had to die in hell to pay the price for our treason. So the Word of Faith people believe that Jesus became one with Satan. He became a homosexual, a drunkard, a drug addict, you name it, he was that. He became one with the devil. Now we look at Mormons. Mormons say that Jesus and Satan were brothers. We go, man, that's a cult, and they are a cult. But when Word of Faith people say that Jesus was one with Satan, oh, they're still Christians, we love them. Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Do you believe that Jesus was one with Satan? No more than I don't believe that Jesus and Satan were brothers. God is holy. Jesus, what's his name, Pilate said, I found no sin in him. He was the perfect sacrifice. There's no way he could be one with Satan. If who told him this? And then Copeland and Hagen them get all these visions. They get all these things from God, supposedly, that tells them these things. Who's telling them this? It's not the Holy Spirit. That can't be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never say that. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Let me go further with this. So anyway, if you look in John 19:30, you got that up there. Jesus said, it is finished. He didn't say, but if you talk to Copeland, he'll say, well, he finished the law. When he died on the cross, his blood just answered the law, not the spiritual part, because they say that sickness and sin is a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. So they say that all the cross did was answered the law. You know, he fulfilled the law. That's it. Well, I thought it is finished means it is finished. Where does he get that from? Yeah, go ahead. Yes. Anybody else got any questions, feel free to.
They also use Isaiah 53 through his stripes we are healed.
Oh, yeah.
And they like to use that a lot to say that you shouldn't have any sickness. It says we are healed. So
yeah.
Why are you sick? If Jesus is in you, how can you be sick?
Yeah, because they look at sickness and sin as a spiritual thing. Okay, Mahari, yeah.
To me the other day that I never thought about, and not to kind of go back a topic, but you were saying about how Word of Faith looks at faith and how God
about
faith. And you were using that scripture that they use.
Yeah, they go on in Hebrews where it says, by faith, God formed the worlds. You know, God did this, God did that by faith. They're saying that he had to use faith to form the worlds. He had to use faith to do all of that. No, God didn't use faith. That scripture is saying that by faith we believe that God formed the worlds. He didn't. Who we have faith in? God is all power. That doesn't make sense, but that's how they twist Scripture. Because they want to make what the Word of Faith does, they elevate man and demote God. They want us to be equal with him. This is a deception from the serpent. It's the lie of the serpent. Remember, Satan told Eve, you shall be like God. This is why it's very damnable. Like I said, God hates this. He kicked Satan out for this. So we're not equal with Jesus. We're not equal with God. We're his creation. We'll always be his creation. 1,000 years from now, we'll still be. God will love us. We'll walk with him. We'll see things we've never seen before, but we'll always be his creation. You know, God is always going to be God. And he said, I'm Jehovah, and there's no one beside me. He let you know. He's it. That's it. So anyway, we're not equal with Jesus. That's another lie of the Word of Faith movement. And then, let me see, I'm trying to remember. It makes the redemption into a restoration of dominion of mankind. In other words, it's saying that we lost that dominion because of Adam, because Satan stole it. So God cannot come on earth. He has to use us. He has no, you know, he needs our help. He has to, see, there's again, making us equal with God. He has to use us. You know, I can't do it without you guys. No, God doesn't need us. That is not true.
It says he needs our permission.
Yeah, he needs our permission. That's right. Does anybody have any questions? I'm rattling off. Does anybody anything at all to say or anything? Please not. No. So anyway, also with the Word of Faith movement, it denies the reality of sickness and sin. Now, I'll give you a good example. I'm going to put Mom in again. She's going to hate it. When we was in a Word of Faith church, Mom would have snot running down her nose and coughing. I'm like, are you sick, Mom? No. And like, you know, they'll put you in bondage. You cannot even say you're sick. You can't say if something's hurting you, you can't say it. You know, it's crazy. And they'll condemn you for this. You'll feel like, you know, that's a lie. If you're sick, take something or have someone. There's nothing wrong with having someone pray with you. But you're lying. And I'll give you an example. Me and Mahari and Emerson, about 4 or 5 months ago, there's a friend of ours that goes to the church we went to, a Word of Faith church. He has stomach problems real bad. I mean, he has it bad. And so Emerson asked him, he said, hey, how you feeling? I'm healed. Praise God. I mean, he believed him. Sound like he was healed. Man, this guy, he was in the bathroom, 4 or 5 times? We couldn't even hardly go nowhere. The man couldn't get out the bathroom. He's, you know, he was in my room. They hadn't used my room. He used the mall's bathroom. I mean, we couldn't even leave nowhere. The man couldn't get out. But he's healed. He's healed. That's a lie. That doesn't make any sense. But they put that bondage on you. They put that bondage on you. And it's very similar to, if you notice, the Christian Science? Very similar. Christian Science is a little more radical with it. But it's you see where it's all lined together? You see how the teachings of Quimby and then Kenyon copied it. He liked it. See how Kenyon kind of brought this into the church to make it more acceptable by using scripture. Because he was a man that he can talk. He had a way with words. I believe he was anointed. God anointed him. But what happened, he used it to bring this junk in. Wanted to use, just like the Israelites enjoyed Baal worship, so they wanted to mix it in with the things of God. The same type of thing. What happens, you can't tell the difference. You know why you can't tell the difference? Because there's no difference. It's the same thing. That's like having a Christian prostitute or a prostitute. You're going to a prostitute, it don't make no difference. You know, or say, I'm going to drink Christian liquor. It's got scriptures on it. It's liquor. It don't make, drink the other. It don't make no difference. It's the same liquor. This is the same demon. So this is why. Oh, you go ahead.
That's why they say we're little gods.
Yeah.
You know, if we're little gods, we can speak things.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose. Yeah, the whole thing is speaking things. When you hear, you ever run into people, you say it's going to rain. Oh, don't say it's going to rain. Oh, don't say it's going to rain. They got that from the New Thought metaphysical teachings. It's creeped in the church, even the world. I talk to people at work. I'll say something. I know just today something on the machine happened. I said, man, every time I do that, it breaks, and it broke. And he said, man, you shouldn't have told me that. You know, and he's not even a Christian. They just showed you how that teaching is everywhere, you know. And every walk of every denomination, I'm quite sure. Now, you guys are more in the Church of God. But I'm quite sure Word of Faith was You had Word of Faith teachings there. Catholics have it. We were an apostolic church. I found out about Hagen through one of the mothers of the church. She was a good woman. She loved the Lord. But if you know apostolics, you're going to hell unless you go, if you're not baptized in Jesus' name and this, you're going to hell. But she told us about Hagen. She gave us all his little books. It shows you how deep this stuff is. I mean, every walk of life, Baptists get it, Methodists. I mean, that teaching is everywhere. It's creep. I think me personally. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Mara. No, go ahead.
You said the other day, kind of blessed me about being the second most deadliest thing that's ever affected the church outside of the Catholic.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. If you look at heresies, you know, if you were to have a top 10 heresies, there's so many heresies out there. You know, it's, but I'd say the top ones, number one would be Catholicism. Okay, during the first, Catholicism started sometime around 600 AD, but it gradually started from the Gnostic beliefs, and then it became where they allowed the, they gave the elders and the pastors too much power. It went from elder to deacon elder to eventually 600 AD it became the Pope. And then we had 1,000 years of, it's called the Dark Ages. I think that is the worst heresy. Satan uses, see what Satan does, during the early church, they were killing Christians, but more people still came to Christ. Satan couldn't stop it. But Satan used something that really worked to this day, perversion. He perverts the scriptures. Catholicism is probably the largest perversion. I can't go with that. We'll be here for another day. I mean, for 2 days if I talk about Catholicism. But I say that's the number one. But I would say the next one comes close to it would be the Word of Faith. Because it influences all denominations, all walks of life. And like I said, it's a mixture of the occult. It's metaphysic. It's a mixture of all, and they try to Christianize it. But don't be fooled. It's the lies of Satan. You cannot speak things to it. If I'm God, we're in trouble. If you're God, you're in trouble. I can't control my destiny. I've tried it. It don't work. You can try it. That'd be like me saying, I can beat the heavyweight champion. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to speak it. Man, I'm going to get whipped. Or I'm going to go to a karaoke thing. I'm going to sing against the best singer. I'm going to say, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Man, you're going to lose. Man, come on. That's baloney. It doesn't make sense. And it's always about, you know, anytime you say something negative, oh, don't say it. Don't say it. Oh, it's going to happen. But I can say I'm a millionaire all day. I don't see no money coming down. You know, it's nonsense. But it's the lie of the devil. It is the lie of the devil. And Philip, was you going to, I'm trying to think. I can't think of nothing else right now. Oh, there's another thing that they use, a scripture that they use. Fred Price was big on this, about the blessing of Abraham. He said the blessing of Abraham is riches. But that's not true. The blessing of Abraham is justification by faith. That was the, and see they take you away from the cross of Christ, justification by faith, our trust in him, and it puts it on self. It says that I can do this. And anytime you trust, the whole purpose of being a Christian, Jesus died at Calvary to deliver me from myself. You can't make me better. I'm not God. I can't control my destiny. I need God. I need him. Or I'm going to fall. We all going to fall. That's why it's so damnable. There's so many families that have been destroyed by this movement. It's countless. There's people that has died. Diabetics, there's been stories. I've heard stories of diabetics that they had kids and they wouldn't give them insulin because, and like me and my heart is talking, yeah, they're not like the Christian Science where they'll say you'll go to hell. Well, Christian Science, I don't think they even believe in hell, but they don't condemn you, but they make you feel like you're not believing God so much. You're like, I'm going to believe God because these gurus, these Obi-Wan Kenobis on the pulpit, they're telling you, you know, you almost think they can fly. Oh, and there's another thing. I forgot. Now they said they can control the weather. Oh, yeah. I was watching, I was watching Fred Price a few years ago. I was watching Fred Price. His son was preaching, and they said they went on a cruise, and he said the weather was bad. He said, I was going to get my dad to do it, but I decided I'm going to do it myself. He said he changed the weather. It was real stormy and stuff. He said he changed the weather. He said he was going to have his dad do it because his dad, you know, his dad's Yoda. So, you know, he could, there ain't no problem for him, but he wants to get that power. You know, he wants to practice. So he decided, I'm going to change that weather. And, you know, that's baloney. Come on. Oh, yes. I'll give her.
To me, that's just so obvious. I mean, you know, when people have to build themselves up, you know, to get someone to follow them, you know, not God and not what God has for us, you know. Right. And you know, just like you were talking about your mom and being sick and not and feeling the condemnation, what's the Bible say? It says there's no condemnation. So, you know, it's the check and balance system of the word, basically.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, what? It seems so obvious, but how come it seems so many people follow it? It goes from the,
well, it's the way they come off with scriptures, and you got to realize, whenever there's a, when a person preaches, it's either the Holy Spirit that's moving the individual, or it's a demonic spirit. There's no in between. So whenever you hear a preacher on TV or on the pulpit, you go to someone's church, either they're moved by doctrines of devils, or it's moved by the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about seducing spirits. A lot of times when these ministers, there's a power that comes along when they preach. It's moved by doctrines of devils, by demonic spirits. And it makes you think, because Satan comes as an angel of light. So a lot of times you're actually mesmerized by what they're saying.
It's also your sin nature that longs after that. Your sin nature wants to be glorified.
It appeals to the flesh.
Your flesh wants to come out. And when your sin nature hears something like that, well, I can do that. Oh, I can do that. And then
I can be rich.
I can be rich. I can be whatever it is that you want. Your flesh is going to follow after that, and that's why it appeals to man.
That's true.
Do you think it has something to do with, do you think it's a delusion sent by God, since our wicked hearts want to?
I never thought of that, but you got a point.
I think it's kind of interesting, too, that the best people in that movement are also the most charismatic, the most, like if you had to put them like on a speaker level, you know, they're like your Tony Robbins, you're so drawn to them. Because I know like a lot of times I flip Christian television just to see what's going on or bored or whatever. And sometimes a guy, who was the guy to be a wisdom guy? I forget his name.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Mike Murdoch?
Mike Murdoch. He's still captivates me at times. He'll get like 10 seconds on me where you just are like, man, this guy's talking, you know. And it's just, like you said, it's almost like a drug, you know.
Yeah.
That it draws you in. It really does.
It's kind of like that one scripture that I'm going to quote incorrectly, but it's, as a man thinketh, so is he, which the bottom half of that scripture you got posted says, but shall believe these things that those come to pass. So it's kind of like you believe it, you think it, and you say it, and it'll happen.
Yeah, this scripture is what Kenneth Hagin uses. This is what he's known for. This is his scripture right here. But he takes this out of context. He's saying that you can actually move a real mountain. But if you really read that in context, it's not talking about an actual mountain. It's talking about mountains of problems in your life and stuff like that. And the thing about it, you have to be in God's will. This is something that they definitely, that's a bad word in the Word of Faith Church, because you never say God's will, because it's like, I'm, what do you mean God's will? God's will is for me to prosper. God's will, let me do this. They'll argue with you on it. You never say God's will. When you're in God's will, you'll want what God wants, and then he's going to move those mountains. But you can't just make, and me and Phil were just talking about this. It'll be like, okay, let's say he's right. Okay, what if Philip wanted to move the mountain this? Let's say, if the way they're saying it, I want to move the mountain to the right. Philip wants to move it to the left. What are we going to do, battle back and forth? You know, I want to move it this way. I move it. And Philip goes, no, I'm moving it this way. That's crazy. And you got to use common sense. That can't mean that you can just make a mountain move And I heard him say you can actually make a mountain move if you have enough faith. You know, if you have this faith, you know, you can be, because their whole thing is to be like God. That's their whole move, and that's the lie of the serpent. And what I'm saying is don't get caught up into that. It's best to, what's that?
Did you mention Jesus died spiritually?
Yeah, I mentioned, I said it was finished. Okay. If you had any more to say on it, anybody has anything to, any questions on the Jesus died spiritually? Did I mention, when it comes to Jesus died spiritually, they're saying that the blood does not save. That's their whole thing. They don't believe the blood saves. They believe him going into hell and getting beat up by demons saves. And this is some of the things that Copeland said. In 1988 on TBN, I forgot what month it was, he told Paul Crouch that God told him that any born-again man full of the word could have done the same thing Jesus did. Now, you believe God said that to him? You think God told him any born-again man full of the word could have did the same thing he did? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, Kenneth Copeland said that in 1988. Yeah, he said that back in 1988, that any born-again man. If you take away from the only thing that separates us from hell and brings it is the cross, his blood. The only reason why you're delivered or saved, all of that comes through the cross. If a man takes you away from that, there's no deliverance, there's no salvation. Hebrews said there's no other, what's that scripture where it says there's no other sacrifice? The book of Hebrews, whoever wrote it, if you remember, he was telling this to the Jews that were going back to Judaism, but it still goes to those who go to Word of Faith. If you put your trust in that Jesus, that's another Jesus. Just like the Mormons' Jesus, you know, he's brothers with Satan. He lived in an apartment. God the Father had sex with Mary, and that's how he came. That's not the Jesus. You cannot get saved from that Jesus. You cannot get saved from the Word of Faith Jesus. This word of faith, Jesus went into hell. Satan's not in hell. He don't want in hell. He's going to go, but he's not there now. He wants in there just as much as I want to go. So that can't be. That's a lie. So anyway, anybody have any more questions? You got some? Okay, you have some things that you're able to play? Yeah. There's some videos of some things that I want you to hear. I want to show you these people do preach this stuff. So, Philip's going to play a few things. What's it talking about?
This one's Jesus died spiritually.
Did he need to be begotten or born? Because he became like we were, separated from God. Because he tasted spiritual death for every man. And his spirit, the inner man, went to hell. In my place. Can't you see that? Physical death wouldn't remove your sins. He's tasted death for every man. He's talking about tasting spiritual death. Jesus is the first person that was ever born again. Why did his spirit need to be born again? Because it was estranged from God.
What's the next one? I just want to give you a little sample of what these people teach. I want to show you I'm not making this up. You know,
it's not coming in that one. What? Try again. This is just another person becoming one in nature.
Oh, son, I'm telling you, when I saw that a mortal man born again by the Spirit of God. I mean, Jesus was the first man ever born from death unto the life and righteousness of God, and he was raised up a born-again man, of the which I am just like, defeated Satan in the middle of hell itself and took his keys away from him. He took the very nature of hell. He took the very nature of death. He took the very thing that killed Adam and bore it in his own spirit.
Now, what's the next one?
this from Gloria Copeland.
You know, you're supposed to control the weather.
What is the weather?
I mean, Ken's the primary weatherman at our house, but when he's not there, I do it. He can see what's happening out there. It shows just like they have on at the weather, like on the news. I mean, he's got the computer's got the current weather on it and all that for flying. So sometimes I'll hear something. I'll hear the thunder start. Maybe he'll still be asleep. And I say, Ken, you need to do something about this. And knowing that, but you are the one that has authority over the weather. One day, Ken and Pat Boone, we were in Hawaii at their house, and they were sitting outside, and there was a weather spout out over the ocean. And that's like a tornado, except it hits the water. And so they were sitting there, and they just watched it, rebuked it, never did anything. One day, I was in the airplane in the back, and my little brother was in the back with me, and Ken was up front flying, and we were not in the weather because we don't fly bad weather. But we could see the weather over here. And I looked out the window, and that tornado came down just like this, down toward the ground. And Ken said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You get back up there. So this is how I learned how to talk to tornadoes. I saw this. And that tornado went, whoo, 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 whoo. Even while I was watching it, my little brother was not a devout Christian at that time, and that was really good for him.
Now, that's a lie.
It's right here that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is a substance. Faith is real. Faith is a force. And it is very, very real. It's used by God at His will. He uses it on purpose. This world and everything in it was created by Him, and He used His faith to do it. And He understood and had the wisdom to use the force of faith and release it in such fabulous proportions as to bring in existence everything that can be seen. Praise God. Now, you couldn't really and truly say that He created it out of nothing, because faith is something. The whole thing was born out of the force of faith that was resident inside the being of God.
This revelation knowledge, this next one.
To them, you know, when you be reading your book, you can get revelation knowledge out of it, right? He gets revelation knowledge and then imparts it to us. That's how he was able to tell us things.
And then
if you read it and study it on your own, you will also get that same revelation knowledge.
Okay. Man, I feel revelation knowledge already coming on me here. I want you to just lift your hand. Something new is going to happen here today. I felt it just as I walked down here. Holy Spirit, take over in the name of Jesus. Say amen.
Okay, now, before we finish, this is it right here. I got one more thing to show you. I'm going to read from Jeremiah. You may show that first and read Jeremiah? Or just show that first?
Yeah, we'll show that.
Okay. It's in Jeremiah. Let me see here. Wait a minute. I'll find it here. Jeremiah 23:28-32. I want to read you a scripture, and I want to show you that, and then we're going to leave. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff of the wheat, saith the Lord? It is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, who steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says, behold, I am against them, who prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and their lightness. Yet I sent them not to command them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Okay? And I want to show you, when we talk about doctrines of devils, this was a service sometime in the 90s with Copeland, Hagen, all the big dogs. This is a so-called revival service. And I want to show you, and I want this is not the Holy Spirit. I want you to see this is not the Holy Spirit. But they claim it is. Go ahead, Philip, and show. This is what happens when doctrines of devils run the church. Go ahead. And then we'll leave, after this.
Which you now see and hear.
I want to point out that watch his tongue.
Watch his tongue. It sticks out like a serpent.
I wanted to skip the beginning. Watch his tongue. He sticks out like a serpent.
Which you now see and hear. They heard him speak in tongue, but what did they see? For them to think they was drunk, they must have thought they was drunk. They were acting like drunks.
These people are slithering like snakes. Look, they're looking like serpents. Look, their tongues are slithering. Is that the Holy Spirit? He's sticking his tongue out.
Drunk again!
He said drunk again, just in case you didn't hear that.
Drunk again.
That's Kenneth Copeland right there.
It's called holy laughter, by the way.
This is the first time we've had a full manifestation of that anointing. We got that.
Notice the front is all reserved seats. Those were the people that were helping them, and now under the anointing, so called.
Oh.
Well, you can turn off. Time's getting kind of close now. Remember, you got an idea of what happens when you allow that spirit in your church. Now, that might not happen, but people's lives have been ruined by this type of teaching. You know, how many lives have been ruined? This is really nothing compared to what has families been damaged by this confession of your little gods. Take over now. You have it.
Good job, Mike. Thank you for sharing.